Well, welcome everyone. I'm Linda Hedberg, and this session is called Becoming a Coach, What You Want to Know. And some of you have registered for this call through Christian Coaching Resources, which is a website that I own, and others have registered at the Christian Coaches Network International, which is a professional association of Christian coaches. And I'm a longtime member there, and just highly recommend membership and involvement with the Christian Coaches Network International as well. For handouts referenced in this session, this is purely a teleseminar, so it's an audio presentation, but you can grab handouts either right now or later at a web page. You can go to my website, christiancoachingresources.com/explore-coaching, and that's christiancoachingresources.com/explore-coaching. There are a couple of PDFs and other resources, but a couple PDFs that I'll be referring to as I go along here. And like I said, you can grab them either while we're talking here or later on and circle back and see how they can be helpful even after as well. So, for those of you meeting me for the first time, I started my life and leadership coaching business called Greater Purpose Coaching in 2003 after I took my coach training. And since then, I've obtained certification through three top Christian coach training schools. I've become an ICF credential coach, developed ChristianCoachingResources.com, and authored the Complete Guide to Christian Coach Training. So over the years, I've connected with hundreds of Christians who are thinking about becoming coaches through my book and through ChristianCoachingResources.com and through sessions like this, through coaching groups and individuals, those who wonder, is coaching for me? So this session is for you, especially if you're wondering, is coaching for me? Now, why this call? How can I help you today? I love resourcing aspiring and new Christian coaches. So you have questions, you've done some research. It isn't always easy to decipher the information you find on the web. So different people give you different and sometimes conflicting information, and sometimes the information leads to misconceptions, and sometimes it just is unfortunately outright misleading. So I'll give you some examples. When I started out many years ago, you could find on the web more than one place this message of, you know, become a coach. All you need is a phone and an easy chair, and money will start flooding in. And back then, there was talk of going from zero to six-figure incomes in 6 months, which, of course, now in today's world, it's seven-figure incomes. You know, back then, I'm sure it was true that a few people accomplished that, but, you know, it really didn't happen for the majority of people who started out as coaches. That was the early to mid-2000s, and since then, you know, we know the history of the U.S. economy. Things changed dramatically, you know, after that, and then now we are back into a more robust economy, but for most who started out in coaching way back in the beginning, before all that happened, not even then was it easy as a phone and an easy chair to create floods of money. So another example of conflicting and confusing information about coaching is the discussion and the marketing and the advice about certification, credentialing of coaches, and accreditation of schools. And I've posted periodically at my blog stories of people who have contacted me with great disappointment. Really grieves my heart when Christians contact me after putting time and money into coach training, thinking it's going to get them professional credentials that it will not, and they have to consider whether they're going to start all over again, pay even more money, and invest even more time to get the credentials that they want. Unfortunately, it happens that people think about becoming a coach and they hear one thing and they get on one track and they don't learn options and they don't make plans and proceed based on, or they go ahead and make plans and proceed based on this misunderstood or misleading information. So I don't want that to happen to you. I want to answer your questions and possibly save you some money, some time, some heartache. You know, I want you to learn your options so that you can, as a believer in Christ, you can bring your options to God in prayer. No one can tell you what is the right choice for you about coaching and how to go about coaching. Only by discernment in prayer can you determine the unique path that God is calling you to. So in today's presentation, we're going to address the following five questions. First, what is life coaching and how is it different from counseling? Then, how do Christian coaches integrate faith with coaching? What does accreditation, certification, and credentialing, what is that? What about that with coaching? And then, what does it take to start a life coaching business or ministry? And then finally, is a career or ministry in coaching right for you? Now we're going to start by talking about what is life coaching and how is it different from counseling. And the first thing I'm going to say is with life coaching, when I say life coaching, I'm using life coaching as a really kind of an umbrella term, or related coaching would be like leadership coaching even. Related would be, you know, all the various types of niche coaching that might fall under, you know, life coaching. And really also it includes, although I'm not necessarily referring executive coaching, oftentimes refers, you know, I'm the same type of thing refers to executive as life. So I'm asking the question, what is life coaching and how is it different from counseling? Okay. So first, what type of coaching are we actually talking about? Well, we're talking about professional coaching, and it is an established professional field that has been around as a professional field, certainly since the late 1990s. And there are professional skill sets and standards and ethics and professional credentialing and accreditation of training programs. Now often, and this is true of the Christian community, the term coaching refers to something other than the professional skill sets and coaching relationships that we're talking about, that I'm talking about today. So let's define coaching first, and then we'll go on to comparing it not only with counseling, but with other helping professions as well. You know, if you're starting out your personal coaching library, a great book to start with is Christian Coaching, Helping Others Turn Potential into Reality by Gary R. Collins in the second edition. And Gary defines coaching like this. Coaching is the art and practice of enabling individuals and groups to move from where they are to where they want to be. Now, what does that reflect? I'll read it again. Coaching is the art and practice of enabling individuals and groups to move from where they are to where they want to be. So, a coach is a collaborator, works side by side with a client, and brings structure and process to help the client's agenda for change. Specific professional skills are used to facilitate action and true change. Well, that change can be, you know, I want to do something different, I want to do something better, I want to do something more, I want to reach out for something specific, a dream, an adventure, an idea. It's the client's idea, the client's agenda. The coach collaborates with the client and facilitates a process and a structure to move forward, activating change and ideas and dreams and facilitating action that the client takes towards plans, goals, and vision. Now, I've mentioned the profession has established core competencies, standards, ethical practices. And the source of these standards is the International Coach Federation, known as ICF, an association of professional coaches from around the world, including life coaches, executive coaches, leadership coaches, many other professional niche specialized coaches. The ICF defines coaching as partnering with clients in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires them to maximize their personal and professional potential. So if you plan to be a professional coach, I encourage you to familiarize yourself with the ICF on the web at coachfederation.org. That's coachfederation.org. Now, the Christian Coaches Network International, known as CCNI, found at christiancoaches.com, is in agreement with ICF, the ICF definition of coaching. And they further define professional Christian coaching like this. Christian coaching is a professional relationship focused on empowering a person or group to effect change, create new awareness, move into action, and step into abundant Christian life in business and personal areas. Now, you may wonder, what does a coach do when working with a client? What skills does a coach actually use? Well, a coach establishes trust and rapport, acts as a co-equal collaborator, practices active listening, utilizes powerful questions, facilitates vision casting, assists clients in identifying resources and addressing obstacles, and focuses on clients' strengths. Professional coach training should train coaches in all of these areas and more. But if you have skills in these areas and if you enjoy working in relationships in these ways, then coaching may be a great match for you. Let's talk about what coaching is not, okay? Coaching is not advice giving, okay? If you want to advise, you may want to mentor or disciple or take a consultative role. A coach doesn't say to clients, here's what I think you should do. A coach does not tell clients what to do. So let's look at the Life Coaching Comparison Tool. That is a handout for this presentation that you can find at that webpage, which is, again, christiancoachingresources.com/explore-coaching. Now, you can look at that, and you'll see it's a matrix. And whether you're looking at it right now, live as we're talking here, or checking it out later, what you're going to see is there's a matrix where across the top, there's listed five different people helping roles. And those are life coaching, which is then compared to counseling or therapy, compared to consulting, compared to spiritual direction, and compared to mentoring and discipleship. And the ways on the matrix that each of these relationships, helping relationships, are being compared is, what is a typical relationship like? What is the focus of what is being worked on in the relationship? What are the desired outcomes? What kind of training do you need to actually do this type of work with people? What do the meetings look like when you're meeting with people? And then how do you describe the role of the person that's the helper in these relationships? So, you know, you can get into this much further after this presentation, dig deeper into this to get a more thorough understanding of what this is telling you. But let's specifically talk about coaching compared to counseling, because that's the most common question, okay? So the reason that it's common to ask, you know, how is coaching different from counseling, is because it can often look similar, right? It kind of looks, very often it's a one-on-one conversation. Now, with coaching, the one-on-one conversation very commonly is done, you know, over the phone, sometimes by video, and it can also certainly be done in person. Counseling very commonly is done in person, right? So, you know, there's maybe a slight difference there, but overall it's a one-on-one conversation that's about life, right? And so because of that, it looks very similar, but it is different, very different. So one of the differences is really the focus and ultimately the desired outcome, okay? So with counseling is actually looking to the outcome to be healing and restoration. So it's a healing process. It's really the focus is often looking back at past pain, past crisis, past trauma, things that are in the past that are unresolved that have caused situations that need, current healing in order to be able to move forward. Oftentimes, people who are in need of counseling, man, hope is just hard to muster up. Hope is just not quite there. It's like people are feeling very hopeless. They just can't see how in the world they could move forward. That's oftentimes how people feel. Now, granted, and I do want to acknowledge there are some opportunities in counseling and philosophies in counseling that are about focusing forward, solution-focused therapy, for example, that type of therapy where it's appropriate can look most similarly toward coaching. But really, the difference is kind of bringing people up to a place of today. They are standing on some solid ground, able then to look at the future after in counseling, healing the past. That said, coaching is different in that coaching is helping people who are basically healthy, everybody, and when we admit it, we all probably can use help healing at some level in some area of our lives, right? Some area of emotional or mental or spiritual health could probably be helped. That's very, very common that we experience, that, but people who work in coaching are reasonably healthy, able to, even though they might be stressed out or overwhelmed here and there, they're able to access hope and they're able to have the energy to find resources, to actually see resources, to engage and actually move forward, okay? So the desired outcome with coaching is action toward meaningful goals, actually moving toward what can be envisioned for the future. So the focus is the future and vision for how the client wants to move forward. So again, just to make one last comparison, I'm going to read the matrix. Has two descriptions, or the two descriptions of what is the description of the role of a counselor. A counselor provides clinical expertise and facilitates a healing process, where a coach is a collaborator who provides structure and process to an agenda that is set by the client themselves. Okay? So those are the differences. This is a point in the presentation I would like to stop and just ask for those that are live on the call, anyone have any questions or comments at this point? Because I know this can be a point where people might have some questions.
I'm okay right now. I've been looking at this for several months, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Good. Well, we can, come back around to this if there are questions afterwards as well. So thank you.
Okay.
All right. Again, we're going to emphasize before we leave this particular topic, coaching is for people who are healthy enough to move forward. They have hope and resources in order to be able to move forward. And it's really not appropriate for coaches to work with those who need counseling. So that's why this really important piece to understand. It's not appropriate, not only based on the ethical standards of the coaching profession itself, and especially in the U.S., it's not appropriate based on regulations that can be different from state to state that require counseling to be done by trained, licensed counselors. And so you can actually get yourself into trouble if you say you're coaching when you're really coaching people who are in need of counseling, coaching people who think they're being counseled, or coaching people according to a counseling model, when you're not a licensed counselor. So that's really important to note. So another thing.
Linda, sorry, actually brought up a question for me.
Go ahead.
Like that, you're drawing a bright line between the counseling and the coaching. Is there that same distinction between coaching and consulting, or coaching and professional training? Is that the same type of boundary?
Absolutely. Less of it's less serious in the implications to the client, for example, because obviously if the client is in need of counseling and healing, the client can be damaged, right, if people are acting as, you know, counselors. So that's why we emphasize it so much. The client can be damaged, and then the person who's calling themselves a counselor can be damaged in that if you know, you're calling yourself a counselor and you can be brought up in terms of, you can be sued legally in certain states, especially, you know, if you're acting as a counselor without qualifications and a license as a counselor. So that's one reason we really emphasize it in this presentation. Now, your question about consulting is great, because it's absolutely true that coaching is different than consulting. And you'll notice on the matrix that that I'm referencing this life coaching comparison tool, you'll notice that consulting is the next category, and probably one of them that is again most often after counseling asked about. So the difference between consulting and coaching is a consultant typically in a purely consultative role will go in, do a bunch of interviews, do a bunch of research, whatever it is that is needed to be done to then assess a situation, come up with here's what needs to be done to solve the concerns or to make the improvements that are needed to be made, right? And so here's my report, and they're essentially oftentimes paid for the work and the report that they generate to say, here's how this situation should be addressed, should be solved, whatever it is. Here's my recommendation, do this, okay? It's different than what coaches do. Coaches help clients work through and determine for themselves what to do. A coach doesn't have to have the expertise that a consultant might have in a particular area to address a particular thing that their, you know, area of expertise that a consultant might have for a particular type of problem. So now, with lots of consultants take coaching training to add that coaching service to consulting. Okay, and so they might go further into, like, here's what I think you should do as a consultant, and oh, by the way, if you'd like coaching services for your organization, or if you as an individual can see that coaching services, I can tell you how coaching services might be helpful to you to implement this great consultative recommendation that I've made for you, if you want coaching along the way to implement that, coaching is very, very appropriate, very helpful, very powerful tool in that situation. Sometimes consultants do that similar thing without coaching training. Some realize that, hey, if I have actual professional coach training, I can do this even better. I can really approach this from a robust, you know, very well learned, educated model and models that I can use that can make this even more powerful. So they actually take coach training and add it to their what they do as consultants. Now, you're asking about this line between, yes, there is a line between coaching and consulting. Sometimes when people are in coaching and they've been consultants, they have to learn how to step back from that consultative role, that more advice and recommendation and problem-solving type of role, into what is a coaching role? How do I do that? And they have to kind of switch into the learning. You know, there is some learning, like, okay, how is coaching different and how do I do it? So there is a distinct difference, but as I just presented, you can, if you're a consultant, absolutely bring that into what you do and the services that you provide for people. Ethically, from a coaching standpoint, it's more about just making sure that the client is clear. If you're a professional coach with professional credentials, making sure that if you're presenting yourself as that, that you're just presenting to the client the points at which you're actually acting as a coach, and the points at which you may be acting as a consultant, kind of so that they can see the difference and experience the difference, at least make that information available to them. That's the ethical expectations, so to speak. All right,
okay.
So that's a huge answer for all of that. Was that helpful?
Yeah, very helpful. Thank you so much.
Okay, sure. All right. So, yeah, so we'll go on to move on kind of in a similar vein, but also just to address, there are just many, many great, really distinctively different effective ways to help people, right? And so I'm not saying in presenting these distinctive roles that any one thing or coaching is necessarily better than any of these other ways. So each of these ways of helping people are effective for specific situations and specific times. So, but I do want you to note that coaching brings this distinctly different way of helping that can be very powerful, very helpful, and knowing what coaching is and how it is different from these other helping relationships is essential to helping you make sure, you know, it's a match for you and what it is that you want to do. So we'll transition into talking about how do Christians integrate faith and coaching. And to do that, I'm really going to just talk about how we actually do coaching in business or ministries. So what that looks like is, in businesses, coaches often work as solo entrepreneurs. Sometimes we call that solopreneurs. And work, maybe you maybe work part-time or full-time in your entrepreneurial effort, and so you have your own practice. Some coaches create ministries commonly modeled after these solo entrepreneurial coaching businesses for profit, and they may be established as a nonprofit ministry, but they look oftentimes really similar. Some people take coach training to integrate it into ministry, to integrate into their current ministry roles. So certainly pastors and church staff, but also lay leaders such as those in women's ministry or men's ministry or, you know, working with teens, whatever, you can take coach training and just bring it into the lay ministries as well. Some Christian coaches have employment as internal coaches, of course. Now, don't want to say that there's a huge opportunity for internal coaches right now because the profession is still growing to the point where, you know, large organizations, certainly more and more and more, are hiring internal coaches. But that's not, as common of a job description and job availability as it we believe that it will be in the future. I mean, it's growing, but it's not huge at this point, but it is available. So in some cases, some Christians have employment as internal coaches within a business organization or a ministry organization. And then, as we've just said, some consultants take coach training to enhance their skills within their consulting businesses. So those are some of the main ways Christians actually do coaching in business or ministry. So how do we actually work as coaches? What do we do? So in answering this, I'm going to focus primarily on the solo entrepreneurs, okay? So as solo entrepreneurs, I mean, the main thing we think of doing and often do is coaching one-on-one, so coaching, individual clients. And that is done either in person or over the phone. And or there's group coaching that is sometimes done. That is done in person or over the phone. We actually do things like teaching when we're not coaching. I mean, this might be an example for, we do things that, maybe we are teachers or speakers, or maybe we're writers and we write things. We write blog posts. We, obviously communicate on social media to let people know what we do and who we are. We oftentimes create and offer products. When you go to that explore-coaching page at my website, the ChristianCoachingResources.com, explore-coaching, you're going to see a couple products that, for example, I've done, the Complete Guide to Christian Coach Training ebook, for example, and an e-course that I offer that helps people learn how to do businesses. Now, that's because my target market is, one of my target markets is to help, as I said in the very beginning of this conversation, why I'm actually here today is I love resourcing aspiring and new Christian coaches. But there are other products as well. I have a product for my life and leadership coaching clients, for example, that's all about helping them walk through identifying their passion, their vision, their mission, that's all about helping them apply all of that and live that out. So I have a two-part course, e-course that I've developed for that. So that's an example of, you know, we do some of these types of things depending on who our target markets are, what God's called us to do, how God has created each of us uniquely, and we apply those things and those are all a part of the business activities, the activities of owning and managing a business that we do. So coaches with profitable businesses often use a multiple streams of income business model, which means gaining income from coaching, but also from these other things like writing and speaking and maybe doing hosting live retreats or whatever it is that they do. But how do we integrate our faith and coaching? So some of us are Christian coaches, so to speak, and label ourselves as Christian coaches, and others are coaches who are Christians. And some of us are very open and market ourselves as Christian coaches. Others do not market ourselves with the label Christian coach. You know, typically those who market as Christian coaches are reaching out to a target market of Christians. For example, you know, that might be Christian women who are empty nesters or Christian professionals in sales, for example. And in those cases, there would be obviously an openly acknowledged Christian context, you know, in the coaching conversation. Or some, you know, professional coaches are Christians, but not necessarily marketing themselves upfront as Christians. Say, you know, maybe somebody's marketing themselves as a Christian coach, as a career coach. You know, and they're going to offer career coaching for both believers and non-believers, right? So they're not necessarily offering Christian career coaching. They're just offering career coaching, and they happen to be Christians, and most people maybe offer something about that in their bio, but they're not. But the main thing of what they're doing is reaching out to whether people are, you know, share their faith or not. So there's some different ways of going about this. But whether you're you say you're a Christian, you kind of use that in your marketing or not, you know, that's all up to you. You know, some training, some philosophy, some people who are leaders in the industry feel that you say that you have to, like you have to say that you're a Christian coach. And others leave it open, like what I've described with this example of career coaching, for example. So those of us who are Christians who call ourselves coaches, those of us who use Christian coaches, whatever, whoever, however we do it, we are, you know, we're really similar behind the scenes for the most part. That's how I've experienced the coaches that I know that are Christians. You know, we have similarities, and then we have some differences to secular coaches. So as Christians, obviously, we pray for ourselves. We pray for our clients. When we pray, we're not praying to the God of the universe. We're not praying to the universe. We're praying to the God of the universe, right? Okay. So we share many skills and approaches with secular coaches, many things, but certainly we have some significant differences as well. For example, you know, even non-believing coaches can believe that all are created with purpose. But as Christians, we believe that God is the creator. And so also as Christians, we believe our clients can discover what they need from within. That's very similar to secular coaches. We believe they can discover what they need from within themselves, but we believe that our clients make their discoveries not because they're just so brilliant in and of themselves, but because they're a brilliant creation of God, and if they're believers, they have the Holy Spirit within them. So, you know, going back to that definition of coaching from Gary Collins, that book I originally mentioned, Christian Coaching, Helping Others Turn Potential into Reality, coaching is the art and practice of enabling individuals and groups to move from where they are to where they want to be. You know, he does add to this definition of Christian coaching, and it reads this way: coaching is the art and practice of enabling individuals and groups to move from where they are to where God wants them to be. So as a believer myself, it's my hope whether my clients, that's my hope for them, whether my client is a believer or not, and that's how I pray for them, you know, whether my client is a believer or not. All right. Any questions at this point?
No.
Okay. All right.
Doing good.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So we're going to keep going to the what about accreditation, certification, and credentialing. So first let me define the terms. In the United States, accreditation typically refers to schools, that schools are accredited. Certification and credentialing typically refers to individuals. So we say, I have my certification or I have my credentials, okay? So as the author of The Complete Guide to Christian Coach Training, okay, for me, the most asked question I hear from aspiring and new Christian coaches is, do I need certification? And my answer to that is, it depends on your situation. It depends on your vision. So knowing what you want to do, that will determine your need for certification and credentialing. But there are some things that are really important to know as you look for certification and credentialing. So here you go. Anybody can pull together training of any sort at this point. Anyone can pull training together of any sort and give you a certificate or a credential. So I can do this. I can invite you to my house for a Friday evening and then maybe again all day Saturday and we can discuss coaching and then I can give you a certified life coach title. Okay? So likewise, I can call my training that we've just done on this Friday night and this Saturday, I can call it accredited by a variety of random accrediting agencies that are typically found on the web, many of whom have absolutely nothing to do with professional coaching. They just offer accreditation. Okay? So I can even actually not even need those. I can even accredit myself. I have now accredited myself. And by the way, you have accredited in training, and here's your credential. Okay? So if you determine that you need or want a certification or credentials, make sure you know exactly what you need or what you want. And my recommendation is that you look to a third-party credentialing and accrediting association, like ICF, the International Coach Federation, and I'm really going to say CCNI, the Christian Coaches Network International. It all depends on what your goals are and what's going to best support your goals. So, for example, I have credentials from both of those organizations. So, if you want professional certification or training that is accredited, look for credentialing and accreditation from the International Coach Federation, again, at coachfederation.org. The ICF is not a coach training school. They are a large international organization of professional coaches that over the years has set standards and definitions of coaching for the profession. They include the identification of core coaching skill competencies, and they accredit training programs as an outside accrediting agency or a third party, so to speak. It's you, the school, and the third party is this accrediting agency, the ICF, that will teach you professional core coaching competencies. So, most programs, the school itself will give you a certificate, and I've already referred to you in my training. I've taken training from three different schools and have excellent schools. I have certificates from three different excellent schools. But we're talking about the professional third-party credentials at this point, okay? So if you pursue credentials with ICF, you'll evaluate it in several ways, but three main ways. One, approved training. The training itself is approved with curriculum that addresses 11 core coaching competencies. The second main way is through mentor coaching, focusing on your skills. So you're working with a coach who can verify and help you develop your skills. And third, actual coaching experience. You know, you have to put in some time, keep a log of actually coaching people. It's initially up to 100 hours that you're going to have to actually coach people before you're actually eligible to get this credential. So there are three levels of credentials. For the first level, the training required is 60 hours of training that is 80% live voice-to-voice training. So not audio, not video recording, but live. 80% is to be live voice-to-voice training and 10 hours of mentor coaching with an ICF-credentialed coach and 100 hours of coaching experience that I just mentioned where you're working with at least 8 different clients documented to include a coaching agreement with those clients, and you'll need to demonstrate your coaching skills, including taking a test online. So don't take my word for this. Go to verify for yourself at coachfederation.org in the same regard that I have a 22-year-old, and I'm like, it looks to me like that, like this is what the school wants, but you go there, verify yourself so that you know. In that same spirit, I say to you, you know, always verify with coachfederation.org what I've just said to you. But as you can see, that is a credentials based on some professional standards. All right. So there's some details that you're going to see there that they will give you as you, you know, look through all of that on their website. Lots of information available there. But if your vision includes wanting a professional credential awarded based on industry standards and it includes a Christian faith-based evaluation, then of course you're going to look to the the Christian Coaches Network International. Okay, CCNI, because CCNI is the only place you can get this type of third-party credential within a Christian context. CCNI's definitions and competencies and standards are aligned with ICF, but they also integrate faith-based requirements into their evaluation process, and your vision may include this type of credential instead of the ICF credential or in addition to the ICF credential. It's not uncommon that at all for coaches to have more than one credential. Like I've just mentioned, I have one I have credentials from both organizations. So how do you find out all about that and how to apply for that? Well, you go to the CCNI website, which is christiancoaches.com, for further details. Now, if you are looking for training and you want programs that align with these standards, I suggest getting my book, The Complete Guide to Christian Coach Training. You know, it's a unique resource. It'll help you choose training that is right for you. It rocks you through everything that you need, your process, your thought process, your decision-making process, all of this about, well, what is it that I really want to do and how do I get there and what will help me and what do I need to know, all of that. Okay, so you can find that at the website, on the webpage that I have been referring, again, christiancoachingresources.com/explore-coaching. Now, hopefully you've heard me say in the beginning that whether or not you pursue professional coaching, professional credentialing, or choose an ICF-approved training program that is unique, that is unique to the vision God has given you. So my book also features other excellent coach training programs that aren't ICF accredited, but what will support what you believe God wants you to do? Okay. Now, my personal example involves really that the biggest three contracts I've gotten to date in my coaching career. It was important that I took accredited training, ICF accredited training, and that I had an ICF credential. On the other side of the continuum would be, you know, if you only plan to coach in ministry at your local level at church, especially like in your lay ministry, you probably don't have to get certified. Most importantly, know where you want to go, know your vision, and then choose the excellent training to match. If you don't know where you want to go, you don't know your vision, then of course you can work with a coach to flesh out that vision. Now, I coach, as I've said, aspiring and new coaches. That's one of the type of coaching that I do for aspiring and new Christian coaches to help develop and implement vision. And you can find others besides myself who do the same thing at the Christian Coaches Network International website, christiancoaches.com. They have a very lovely find a coach option there, and so perhaps you want to go there, look, see, maybe see people who do what you might want to do, and whether or not you actually hire them to be your coach, you may arrange a conversation with them to find out, you know, who they are and what they do, and hopefully, boy, I sure put out the word co-opetition rather than competition. I mean, if God's given you an assignment to do and them an assignment to do, it's not really competition. It's just helping each other, you know, see the vision that God has, and you can hopefully have conversations with people who would be generous with information. Okay, what does it take to start a life coaching business or ministry? I'm going to highlight four things. First of all, training. No surprise to you that the author of The Complete Guide to Christian Coach Training, I'm going to tell you that training is important, and I recommend that you start there. Secondly, if you're going to do the solo entrepreneurial business, you need an entrepreneurial spirit. By that I mean, you know, just you need to step into accepting the fact that you are going to be an entrepreneur. Many coaches aren't natural entrepreneurs, but if you're going to start a coaching business or ministry, it won't be a choice to be an entrepreneur or not. You just are that. So whether it comes naturally to you or whether or not you will be, you know, learning and stepping in and acting as an entrepreneur and just becoming an entrepreneur, this can be learned. So I had to learn this myself. It isn't natural to me. You know, I feel like oftentimes like I'm learning it anew every day, even after all these years. But if you want to know what it takes to actually do this, this is something to be very aware of so that you can knowingly take on that challenge. Number three, it takes hard work. So really not as easy as a phone in an easy chair to, you know, be a business owner and start a coaching business. You know, you may not be passionate about all of what it takes. You know, it takes, you know, time and hard work, very rewarding work. If you're, you know, it's many coaches find it a very passionate, they're very passionate about actually working with clients. But in order to be able to work with clients, you have to do a lot of hard work in to get to that place where you're actually connecting with clients, doing the business of it. So that's oftentimes the hard work for coaches, but it's very rewarding work. It's very worth it. If it's your passion, it's your calling, of course you're going to do it. You're going to find the energy and passion to do the stuff that's harder work, you know, through the coaching that you do and the impact that you have in making a difference in the world. And then finally, I do recommend that people have a calling in, or a leading from God. It really takes that. That is kind of key. You know, sometimes entrepreneurs might be like, hey, you know, this is great. I can do this. I want to do this. I love, you know, the idea of entrepreneurial work. I'm going to do it. And maybe they don't have a calling or leading from God, and that can be problematic. And then, so that's something to just pay attention to. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody needs the full map and all the pieces and all the pictures, right? Which is, I'm going to about talk about this a little bit more, but, you know, having a calling or leading from God is very important. Now, at this point, it's not going to surprise you that I can't tell you if a ministry, you know, career in, or ministry and coaching is right for you. So I don't believe anyone else can tell you that. People want to sell you. They want to sell you their training programs, their marketing programs, their online communities, et cetera, et cetera. You know, coaching is an amazing, fantastic job. It's rewarding. I've seen people be successful and thrive due to their hard work and tenacity and passion to fill a vision. And I've seen people put time and money and heart into it, and they've not been able to make it work for a variety of reasons. But if you believe that God's given you a vision, then that's the indication of what to do, where to go. My straight-out advice is that you don't quit your day job, you don't sell the farm to begin a full-time coaching business without really, really being clear on that specific thing is what God's calling you to do, sell the farm or quit the job. You know, you hang on to that and you start building and growing until you get to the point where you can make that transition. You know, just be very careful about when to quit that day job or when to sell the firm. You very well may need that income while you're building your coaching business. If you don't have a complete vision, that's, of course, fine. But use wisdom, rely on prayer and direction from God to move forward. Bottom line, the questions are things like, what do you believe God wants you to do? What does that look like? What would it take to get there? Would coach training and establishing a coaching business or ministry accomplish what you believe God wants you to do? So work with a coach to discover, establish, and clarify your vision. And in any case, make sure that your vision, you're matching up your vision with the training, that makes sure that the training and the expectations that you have for the path match with where it is you want to go. So I'm glad that you have been a part of listening to this presentation. We're going to have Melody from the Christian Coaches Network give some additional information before we wrap up here. After Melody's done, we'll stop the recommendation and we'll have any questions that anyone wants to answer after the recording is stopped. But let's go ahead and have Melody share what she'd like to share today.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Melody Clausen. I'm the operations manager for CCNI. I've been with them for, about 3.5 years now, and I've loved every minute of it. It's wonderful working with Christians all day long. I mean, the board of CCNI are Christians, and the coaches that I deal with are Christians, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful place and a wonderful community. We have monthly events, normally 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there, from leaders in the industry, the Christian coaching industry. And we also offer up every year a 3-day event. This year it's called Thrive. Coaching from a Biblical Perspective. It's taking place October 10th through the 12th. And if you are interested in, you know, seeing what kinds of things you can learn and what Christian coaches do and that kind of thing, you can think about attending. If you want to go to the ChristianCoaches.com website, you can navigate to this 3-day event. Like I said, it's called Thrive. THRIVE. It has, we're going to be having 11 sessions in that. And, you know, go ahead and take a look at it. You can print out the schedule at the bottom of the page. And on the page itself, it also shows the speakers and what they're going to be talking about on the page. So if you're interested in that, please go ahead and you know, give it a look and maybe join. Also, once every, I'd say 3 or 4 months, Cheryl Scanlon, who's very well known in the Christian coaching industry, gives a coaching demo where she actually takes someone who's on the call and coaches them through some issue or challenge that they're facing. That is really a wonderful event and people just love it, and they love Cheryl. So if you're interested in that, you can go to our events page on the website and see when the next time Cheryl will be speaking with regards to the coaching demo. She also will be speaking at the Thrive event, October 10th through the 12th. So that's really the coaching demo I'm back to now, is really a wonderful time to actually see this is really what a coach does. This is the kind of things that a coach does. And then after the person is coached, then there is a few minutes, 15 to 20 minutes where they break down the call and see where Cheryl feels she could have done a better job, where she feels she did a good job, and how the things that she did matched up with the ICF, International Coach Federation, markers. So that's really a good one to attend if you just sort of want to get a taste of what coaching is actually like. We also have some community groups, and as Linda mentioned, we also provide Christian credentialing for Christian coaches. So anyway, any of the events that are on our events page, you're welcome to attend. The monthly events are $15 per event for non-members to go ahead and come and join in and, like I said, hear from the leaders in the Christian coaching industry. And then you can also find out about our three-day event, Thrive, there. Do you have any questions for me?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, then I'll turn it back over to Linda.
Great. Thanks, Melody. And I just want to again say I just highly recommend the Christian Coaches Network International. It's been an important organization for me over the years from the very beginning that I became a coach. I can't recommend anything more highly. You know, it's just the events are a reasonable cost. Many times you can get some credit towards training for credentials, not only with CCNI but with ICF as well, and very excellent presentations. And this Thrive Conference is going to be wonderful, and I know that because I've attended every conference along the way, and every conference and some of the presenters are the same. I mean, it's just fantastic. We have wonderful Christian coaches who are leaders in the field that CCNI is so great about featuring. So thank you all for joining me. For those on the call live, I'm about to turn off the recording. I will open up the line for your questions. For those listening to the recording, thank you for joining me. This is Linda Hedberg, and you can reach out to me by email at coachlinda@christiancoachingresources.com. Thank you.